Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Market does look to claw back some of Friday's 2% drop, worst day since February, as scientists around the world scramble for more data about the Omicron variant. Oil up 7%, 10-year 155, VIX is just below 25. Our roadmap begins with that Omicron volatility, investors reassessing risks from the new COVID variant after Friday's big sell-off.
Plus, the vaccine boost, Pfizer's CEO telling CNBC that its shot should still work against Omicron, and Moderna saying a reformulated shot could be ready early next year.
And Black Friday sales come in light. Cyber Monday today expected to do the same. So we didn't have the benefit of Jim on Friday, but your general point is don't be confused and don't panic.
Yeah, I mean, look, you listen to Bourla and to Bancel, Moderna, and Pfizer, and you come back and you say, look, these guys are the people you have to bank on. They know the science, they're doctors, they say things that, frankly, are very practical. And then Dr. Gottlieb, who, of course, works with Pfizer, is very practical. And I come back and I say, if they're all so practical, then the thing you can't do is say, you know what, I'm going to sell. Because, David, what that may mean is that these people solve it, and then you have to buy back much higher.
Right. What would be the key things, I can imagine what they are, that you're waiting for along with so many other investors to try to understand the implications of this new variant and whether, in fact, it is something that is going to be a significant threat?
Well, I felt that we were getting toward herd immunity, and if we hear that someone who already has it gets it again, that would be my biggest fear. I'm much less fearful about the idea that if you're triple boost, you got the boost, that you might get sick again, because there I think that you might get sick mildly. Of course, the unvaccinated are just whipping boys. I mean, this should just really scare everybody who isn't vaccinated.
Right.
When you hear this kind of thing and you're not vaccinated, is it really because you think it's a political thing that they can't tell me what to do? I mean, I would love to see a governor from Florida, for instance, say, you know what, this has gotten out of control. We got to get vaccinated so we can get back to work. And there can't be any resistance, because what happens is if everybody gets vaccinated, then your country is much less at risk. And that could be, you know, we've so many outbreaks of diseases in Africa that we had beaten in this country over the last couple decades. So I feel like I'm not sanguine, because obviously when you get the outbreak in America, which you almost have to, the markets will be down. They'll give up this game. But I'm just saying, if you panic, I think you're going to miss the opportunity and you're going to end up paying higher.
Right. They did talk to both Bourla and Bancel from Pfizer and Moderna earlier this morning on Squawk. Bourla, I thought, had some of the more interesting comments. One was that they've done this before a couple of times, reformulated a new vaccine for Delta and Beta, which ended up not being that necessary because their overall vaccine efficacy held in. But his broader point was on treatments. They don't target the spike, which is where the mutations are. And he referenced why Paxlovid could still be a good hope.
Friday, we made our first DNA template, which is the first part of the manufacturing, of the development process of a new vaccine. And we have made multiple times clear that we will be able to have a vaccine in less than 100 days. In fact, we have already two vaccines built in less than 100 days. We built one for Delta that we didn't need to use because the current vaccine is very effective against Delta. And we built one for Beta, which also we didn't have to use. So we will build one at risk right now for Omicron, that will be used only in case we need it, if we see that the current one doesn't work.
So JP Morgan goes from 42 to 53 on Pfizer.
Well, I think Pfizer should be bought because of something that Joe asked this morning, and Andrew. They were all talking about how it's going to be an annuity. I think it's absolutely true. I remember when they first told me they had a booster, they felt that there'd be a big blowback. that people say they're just trying to profiteer. But they predicted, Dr. Bortola predicted that this would occur. And the booster is obviously incredibly effective. David,
He was talking, we should make the point, though, about the oral antiviral.
Right, but there, which, I was going to say to you, yeah, that is the real hope. Whether
it
you're
is.
Talking to Dr. Topol, or you talk to right. to Len Schleifer at Regeneron,
Pfizer showed significant reductions in hospitalizations and deaths. Yeah. We got revised data from Merck's molnupiravir. It's the one that I've been following very closely, which showed a reduction of about 33% in hospitalizations. However, deaths, at least 90%. My understanding actually is in the trial, the person who did die, not in the placebo group, was not related to COVID. And so the panel on Merck's drug meets tomorrow.
Oh, really? And we know
the advisory panel meets tomorrow. We don't have a date yet on Pfizer. But these oral antivirals that we have talked about for a very long time here are certainly going to be important. And to Bourla's point, they aren't impacted. They don't go after the spike protein. Therefore, any of these mutations would not seem to impact their efficacy.
Well, don't you think that in that sense, we have a very severe flu going on, of which we know many people
yes.
die every year of the flu?
Yes.
Are we there yet?
Listen, I've asked that question, Jim. It's hard to know. I'd love to see data in terms of if you've been vaccinated and you get a COVID, whatever variant it might be, what is your hospitalization rate and death rate look like versus the flu? Because we're living with this forever, it would seem, at this point, aren't we? And so as the adjustment will need to be made in some way, and certainly we have to be very much aware of these potentially virulent variants,
right.
nonetheless, it's not going away.
No, but there is data, there's some tremendous data out of Las Vegas, of all places, which just shows you a dramatic decline in hospitalizations if you have been vaccinated. And I just think that, I mean, our president, they're all kind of, they want to cajole. Dr. Fauci wants to cajole. We got to get away from the cajole. No one who has not been cajoled is getting cajoled. So I just think that we have to just say, okay, look, here's the law. You got it. We're requiring vaccinations. No more.
To do what? To fly? To?
To live in this country.
Mandatory vaccinations.
I like to call it required, but only just because I think that here we go again. Why can't we? Our country's in panic mode. We're all, I mean, the stocks reflecting the idea that perhaps we got to go. There are a lot of people talking about lockdown. You would never think about lockdown if everybody were vaccinated. So I'm beginning to think that if you want to preserve our commerce and our greatness, as well as the mortality rate going down, then you just do this. And you do what we did with polio in the country, where I lined up in high school. I had no idea why I was getting a shot.
Even when the oral antivirals are available and conceivably do, the Pfizer one, ritonavir, has to be taken with it. That's an HIV drug. There's a lot of drug interactions people need to be aware of there. But overall, this will be very significant. The Merck drug and the potentially Pfizer drug, if they both get approved, that will be significant.
If you
still think people will need to be vaccinated?
Yeah. I mean, the number, look, let's just, I always like to use the NFL as a good example because they're constantly being tested. And the numbers are awful. And I want to know how much of those are breakthrough. And then when you do the digging, when you go through, that's not breakthrough. It's not vaccinated.
Well, the one bit of news that Bourla also brought this morning was on some manufacturing capacity increases for Paxlovid. Meg Terrell brought us that. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning, Carl. Yeah, a lot of news from these CEOs this morning, hearing that they do anticipate that if needed, they could pivot very quickly to these new variant-specific vaccine constructs. We heard from Albert Bourla that they started that work on Friday, along with their partner BioNTech, developing that Omicron-specific vaccine if it's needed. Again, we don't know if it will be. The company's all saying they expect at least antibody data within a couple weeks to tell us how much of a hit the neutralization takes against Omicron versus previous variants. What we've seen before is that even with variants like Beta, which really did take a hit there in terms of the antibody protection, there was still protection from the vaccines. And so that may be the case, that with full vaccination, with boosters, with the current vaccines, that is enough. J&J also this morning just putting out a statement saying it's developing an Omicron-specific vaccine too, if it's needed, but also looking at the current protection from its vaccine. This, guys, as over the weekend, we heard about a dozen more countries reporting cases of Omicron. So that's spreading. We have not yet heard about it here in the United States, but we know that surveillance systems are getting ramped up to look at this through both markers on PCR tests and also, of course, confirmed through genome sequencing. So Experts would not be surprised to hear about cases here in the U.S. And in fact, Moderna's CEO, Stéphane Bancel, saying that he thinks that any flights that have left from South Africa to any destination in the world within the last 7 to 10 days, those destinations probably have this variant circulating at some level. Now, guys, you just mentioned the antivirals. We did learn from Pfizer this morning that now they are forecasting 80 million treatment courses of Paxlovid being available next year that they can make. That's up from 50 million previously. And that was a really big point that Albert Bourla was making, that the potential availability of these antiviral drugs, being able to keep perhaps 9 out of 10 people out of the hospital or dying from COVID, makes a huge difference. Even if the vaccines take some hit, we could have those drugs that would be really helpful. Guys, back to you.
Yeah, Meg, let me just quickly ask you. I don't think anyone in the business is good a watcher of Bancel from Moderna or Bourla from Pfizer. Did you not detect the level of both business as usual and optimism from these two? And again, I rely on you because you have dealt with them in the height of the pandemic. And I want to know whether that was your take.
There is a sense you get from both of these guys that they are ready for this, that they have been preparing for this, particularly from Bourla. When I asked him at the end of the interview, how concerned are you, you know, personally about this? He said he was optimistic because they've run through this before with the beta and the delta variants, figuring out those vaccines, and because of the drugs that they have. You know, Stéphane Bancel also did sound pretty worried about this variant itself because of the characteristics we've heard about it that have not yet been confirmed. But that was something that he's been sort of acting from the beginning, you know, back at Davos in 2020 when he was modeling on a napkin how far the original virus had potentially spread. So these guys, you know, it's their personalities, but luckily they're prepared.
Meg, great work, of course, this morning, helping us get our arms around this today. That's our Meg Terrell. Gottlieb was also on this morning, said he thought we would probably get our arms around the epidemiology sometime this week.
Right.
So how are we supposed to trade in that time?
I think that there is a cadence. I mean, I think the cadence is we discover someone brought it here after what happened in the Netherlands. It's hard to believe that we don't. Then you get a big sell-off. And then you're going to get news that this is something that we're going to be able to deal with. It's not going to be March of 2020. And when it's not, we're going to go look at. So I'm not a huge fan of the cruise ships, but let's just take Royal or Norwegian. Norwegian hit a 52-week low. Royal's now down 20 from where they did that gigantic secondary. David, you have to say to yourself, you know what? Even you maybe bite the bullet and buy some Norwegian, which has. Well, I don't think you're going to hear about massive cancellations.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Well, all of these stocks were down, as we pointed out many times on Friday. It was a shortened session. There's typically perhaps a lack of liquidity on a day like
right.
that after Thanksgiving when so few people are at work, although, or even actually at home working.
You were at work.
I was at work. But we saw outsized moves in many of these names, Jim. Not to mention the other way as well. Moderna shares, which seem to be getting ready to advance yet another 10% perhaps, we're up well over 20%. So, you know, it does go both ways, but
I mean,
they were significant moves.
We had bear market in oil,
to the downside
a one-day bear market in oil. David,
yeah.
you know, we have to start thinking that maybe the futures are a clown show.
The commodities futures now?
Well, I mean,
not just equity futures.
On $80, the president coordinates a gigantic worldwide effort to unleash strategic petroleum reserves. It does nothing. And then there's a short squeeze, and it goes up. And then we get one day of this, and everything they wanted to accomplish has been accomplished. Now, at $70, most of the major, yes, what to buy, at $70, most of the major and independents make a ton of money. So for those who think, well, I guess it was the end of that rally, think again. They're not done. They're not done just because they are so lucrative and we're not cheap.
Yeah, I think it was J.P. Morgan over the weekend said that 72 implies about a 2 million barrel a day hit to demand, which they do not see coming.
There's a fanciful.
And if you looked at some of the out-month futures curves, really, they're not counting on that.
No, and then, David, you know, the jog bra didn't come off the Peloton. It just didn't.
It did.
No, the jog bra's right where it was.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
Jog bra being my wife using the Peloton as a place to drive things.
Meaning nobody is going to stay home.
No, but Peloton was up very big.
Oh, I see.
Now,
okay.
Zoom, I have to tell you, I shouldn't be. I think Zoom's actually interesting.
You do?
Well, because, like.
It did advance a great deal. I mean, it was a good. Nowhere near where it's been, of course. It's still down well over 50% from the
highs. Now, look, I'm my stepson works at Zoom, I will say this. It's not like Zoom's a pitiful, helpless giant. I mean, it could be working.
But you would argue return to work is going to get a hiccup.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to back to hybrid. So you got to do Palo Alto Networks.
First of all,
which has got to be,
there is no back to hybrid. We're only hybrid. I mean, we're the only ones coming in 5 days a week. I got news for you.
What are we like? What do you want, a congressional medal reporting?
No, I'm just telling you, hybrid is, it's actually back to back. Fully at home, really, is what you're talking about if you're saying there's going to be a change. The vast majority of employers right now who work in offices are coming in 3 days a week, if that.
Right. Now, over Thanksgiving, you really started to hear these younger people say, listen, they may ask me, but you know what? And I'm only thinking when they asked me to stay at Goldman 6 days, that meant 7 days. Now it's like you ask you to stay at Goldman 6 days, that means 3 days.
And if this continues to get extended, that people don't, there isn't a return back where to hybrid even, because that's right. Many of these companies have extended their deadline for having people come back to the office at all, and they may do it again. So we're looking at January right now, but if the variant does prove to be a problem, then one conceivably will see them extend even
further.
But
do you sell Simon Properties? I mean, I went to sell Simon Properties when I see, like, raging gangs
attacking.
No, that's
the mall. People keep going to the mall.
Well, 80 people went to a mall.
They just don't want to go to the
Walnut
office.
Creek, and they stole everything out of a Nordstrom, which is really a bad stock to begin with.
The shrinkage problem is a significant
one. Shrinkage, that's a nice word for mass looting. I remember I saw a guy in Banana Republic steal a sweater next to me. I say, hey, man, how you doing? He goes, fine. Nice sweater.
Yeah. No, I was talked about a lot last week as a
really
big change, sea change for the retail industry. Take a look at futures here. We'll talk more about Black Friday and Cyber Monday and retail today, as well as what the variant may do to Fed policy.
Yeah.
Going to hear from Powell several times this week, including in front of the Senate tomorrow. More Squawk on the Street continues in a moment.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable, high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Welcome back, guys. I wanted to share some potential news on a company we follow closely. The name of the company is Twitter. It's CEO Jack Dorsey, from what I'm hearing from a number of different people familiar with the situation, expected to announce that he will be stepping down as the company's CEO in the near term. I don't know much else. And so we will see the market react to this potential news. But unfortunately, at this point, it's not clear to me, based on my reporting, whether or not Mr. Siegel, the longtime CFO, will step in, or whether an outside candidate has been brought in. There's been no shortage of rumors about potentially Mr. Dorsey, who, remember, helms two companies, both Square and Twitter, as their CEOs, would step down from a position he took over 6-plus years ago when Dick Costolo stepped down. Remember, Dorsey, of course, one of Twitter's founders. Then he was CEO for a period of time. Then he stepped down. Then he came back as interim in, let's call it, I think it was October of 2015. And now I'm told, again, by people familiar with the situation, that he is expected to announce that he will be stepping down again as CEO. Unclear whether that will be immediate once it is announced or perhaps at the end of the year. There had been pressure brought to bear on him from Elliott for some time. Remember when they had some board seats? They no longer do. But Jesse Cohn, of course, who runs activism at the large hedge fund, Elliott had potentially indicated that he was looking for, at least there was reporting to this extent, a replacement for Mr. Dorsey, particularly when he had announced that he would be moving to Africa. That did not happen, in part because of the pandemic. And that's where we stand, guys. So, you know, I know you have a long relationship with Ned Siegel.
Sure, I was with him quite a bit.
Trying to get comment from Mr. Siegel
as well. Yeah, let's see if we can't get him.
And try and get a little more on this this story. You can see now Twitter shares responding positively. Again, the stock itself has not done particularly well over, you know, it's hanging in there, Jim, but it's not been a star performer. There have been those who say it's simply underwhelms in terms of the things they could do with the platform and the power of the platform. I'll leave that to others at this point. We do know that Mr. Dorsey and Square have been nothing but success with that company. I mean, obviously, again, you know it quite well, having exceeded $100 billion market value,
and
a bit below that right now.
I mean, when you have them on, I think it's worth pointing out, how does it matter? Does it matter much who we have on? If it did, then Amrita Ahuja, who's just an amazing CFO, incredible at Square, it would be an easy replacement. If that ever happened, we obviously not going there. Will Ned get it? Ned Siegel? Well, Ned spends a huge amount of time, basically day to day.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be sensational. But I will say this. The idea that the stock should be up 5 because Jack leaves, which therefore obviously means, David, people think they'll be a bidder. David, I don't know. I don't
know either.
I don't see a natural bidder at all.
I am not. Have not been picking that up.
Because, but that's the reaction.
To your point, Jim, I think you're dead on that. Many people believe, if in fact he were to step down, that it would increase the likelihood, perhaps, that Twitter would look for some sort of a deal.
Now,
that is not what I'm hearing.
Right. Okay. Good.
What I am hearing is an expectation that, in the near term, at least, Mr. Dorsey will say that he is stepping aside. Now, by the way, exec chairman is Omid Kordestani, so, you know, unclear. Again, don't have as much as I would like, frankly, but we are sharing this with you at this point. And certainly we'll update as we move along today in the hopes that we will be getting more clarity on this situation.
Well, not to dwell too much on the fundamentals, since obviously no one else is right now, but Twitter has the Olympics coming up. That's been a terrific thing for them. They are now actually starting to be able to monetize much better, direct advertising, but also branded coming on. When I was with Ned and he was on the show and I saw him after, and yes, I mean, I've gotten to know Ned over time. There is a sense that why is our stock down this much? And I think that the reason why is because people think that they've not been able to rake the money in that they thought they would at one point. But remember, the group is down substantially.
Yeah.
And you have Metaverse changing its stripes, but you have Pinterest not doing as well as it was. Remember, Snap had a not great quarter. So I don't think, I mean, maybe Twitter could be bought by Snap. It's highly unlikely.
There was some data out this morning on social media engagement in general having topped out in 2020.
I think that's, you know, do you think Zuckerberg, like people say, oh, he's doing this as a dodge. I think Zuckerberg's doing it because he recognizes, as he always had when it was Facebook, right, and then he went to Instagram. He realizes that the money's going to be in the metaverse. Now, of course, I'm sold on the Omniverse metaverse because of Jensen Huang from NVIDIA, who showed me things that were, as he said on our second interview, time travel.
But you think social media is like Web 1.0, whereas we're going to 2?
Getting that feel that the advertisers have peaked out. I think that, now Ned would tell you, listen, you're going to start seeing more, when you get to the Olympics, you're going to start seeing 80 billion tweets and someone's going to advertise there. But I do think that there's, I used the term ennui earlier about the variant. There's an ennui here. Hey, David, I think people feel like, you know what, we've pretty much reached everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We've reached everybody.
It's interesting. And you do raise it a couple of these other platforms. Pinterest, of course, we know, had engaged in some level of conversation with PayPal.
And you're convinced of that, right?
I think that was accurate. It was never completely clear to me because, frankly, I didn't do much reporting.
Well, and
it
Mr. Shulman did not speak out on it.
But we've never really heard anything from PayPal on
none.
It, right? But there is questions about Pinterest and whether, in fact, that did indicate their interest in potentially looking again
but
at opportunities
that
may
be. Felt that business was exploding.
It's a great point.
Right.
You're right.
I mean,
that, by the way, I want to make it clear, that is not at all what I'm hearing with regard to Twitter, which is simply, frankly, not an unexpected change in the CEO role. Many people never expected Dorsey would be sitting there for 6 years as a co-CEO of these two companies. We sat here many times questioning whether that was really something that could go on for a long time, right. But it did.
And David, Salesforce, no. Not coming back.
With
no,
the fresh
that's
bid.
Not coming back.
Never
they've
Salesforce.
But they've got Taylor on the board, right? Isn't he Salesforce? Isn't there a Salesforce
Brett?
Guy? Yeah. Am I wrong?
Wow.
Did I read that incorrectly?
Well, I do know this. That
pretty sure that he's
that
a board
in
the
in Mark's Benioff's fabulous book, Trailblazer, it talks about how the shareholders were in revolt by him even talking to Twitter. So I don't give.
No, that's not coming back.
No, the stock's up 150 points since then. I don't think he wants another revolt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have been quite resourceful lately in developing some new product. Twitter Blue is that subscription service that we had long talked about for years.
I think that Twitter's making a major series of changes, and they're trying very hard to get rid of the people who would savage you. And if you do tell them, and typically if you tell them, you know, nothing happens. If you do tell them, they'll get rid of people. And I get no special treatment, as anyone who reads my mentions column would know. But there is a sense that they're cleaning the site up and that it never lost its luster among journalists. It never lost its luster among people who follow sports. But they thought they were on a real path. This is as of 10 days ago.
Right.
And I believe the path. I think that there were better times ahead only because they have not figured out how to monetize. The other guys, I think, are like kind of figured out and you just don't see the ads.
Yeah. By the way, Jack tweeted yesterday, I love Twitter. That's all he said.
I love Twitter.
I love Twitter.
At least he didn't just tweet an ice cream cone.
He's concise, isn't he?
You know, by the way, he's loved. He's back. From all the people. I've met a lot of people from Twitter.
He charts his own path, does
people
Mr.
Like
Dorsey.
That.
There is no doubt about
people
that.
People like that.
They certainly do. And
dude,
it has
he
been,
wore a suit when he
he's
when
quite
square.
Philanthropic. He's obviously one of the wealthiest men around, in the country. Square being a key part of that, given what he's been able to accomplish there.
Square stock's down big. That's interesting.
And Square's down big from its highs.
From its
it's
highs?
Up this morning.
But it's down for the year. But it's from 289. Down to, you know, wow. I mean, what a pasting.
Same. You could say the same for Twitter shares, which are back to levels that they were at the week they went public 8 years ago in November of 2013, going public at 26.
Well, I mean, you do have Brett Taylor, who's the punitive, he's the chief operating officer in Salesforce, but he's really not day-to-day, very much involved, and he is on the board of, David, how's that cut? He's on the board of
Twitter. Yeah, I know.
Well, look, I think that if you buy Twitter up 5, you better have a real good reason tomorrow why it's up 5. Because I think you'll come back and say, why didn't I listen to those guys? I mean, there's nothing happening. David, there's nothing happening.
Right.
Jack loves Twitter.
Right. He loves Twitter.
He loves Twitter. What is that like? Your bunny has a good nose? What is that? Like?
I don't know what it
Salesforce?
Means.
Salesforce?
Frankly.
Salesforce is a blue horseshoe here?
I have a hard time saying I love Twitter. But I certainly use Twitter.
Yes. Yes, I use Twitter. I posted some terrific pictures of the Eagle.
You've gotten a lot of people who on Twitter who don't love you.
Well, there's no reason to bring that up.
Sorry.
There's a...
But that's part of the...
The risk.
I'm allegedly the top 10 most hated...
The conversation around the company.
Top 10 most hated people in America.
Conversation around the company.
Which I think... Isn't that amazing to be top 10 most hated?
Yep.
I mean, that's incredible.
Normally, when a co-founder steps down... there's a negative reaction, right? Jack is a co-founder. In fact, he wrote the first tweet ever.
Right, boy, that's a little savage.
An NFT. You've had Williams as CEO. You've had Costello as CEO. Then Dorsey again. And now we'll have to see. I don't know.
We need an acquirer, David. I don't know an acquirer. I don't know a potential acquirer. I don't know anything about this unless you want to merge Square with Twitter.
That's not happening.
That's not going to happen?
No.
David has both sent the trial balloon up and shot it down. I always love that.
Let's get the opening bell here and the CNBC real-time exchange at the big board. It's UBS celebrating the grand opening of the UBS Arena, a sports and entertainment venue in Elmont, New York.
How about that?
At the NASDAQ, it's Vonage, a cloud communications platform.
Keep going away. Got one new one, and that's John Ledecky. He's very involved. I knew John at college. You bet against John. It's a pretty big mistake. Been very serial entrepreneurish.
That's So we're going to start the day at 46.50. Given Friday's pain doesn't seem all that bad.
No, it doesn't. And what's interesting is research working. For instance, Snowflake, a really fabulous piece today, saying that Snowflake's basically the greatest stock from BTIG, and that thing is just roaring. I like that. I think that that's Frank Slootman doing a terrific job. How about this piece? Did you guys read this piece about Amazon able to raise price without a problem?
Yes.
What do you think?
Interesting.
I think you can.
It was also a long takeout in the journal about their ability to continue to expand and getting closer and closer to cities with massive facilities. We know about all the people that Amazon has hired over the last 2 years, but they've also done a lot of building, not to mention building out their own distribution force in terms of trucks and ships and
spend a
planes.
Fortune on that. I like Amazon very much. My Chapel Trust owns it, part of the club, investment club. The most curious note today, Deutsche Bank, I think people would love this. Younger investors will love this. Deutsche Bank raises its price target for Penn Nat. Now, Carlos Santarelli, who is the analyst, he and Dave Portnoy had a lot of back and forth. Dave Portnoy of Penn Nat and Barstool. And this is going to be something that I think Portnoy, if you were following, should crow about, because he was furious at this fellow for not understanding the power of nothing other than Dave Portnoy himself, who apparently does lay down some pretty big bets.
Yeah. Penn National, of course, 52-week low as of last week. Where are we right now, Jim, on some of the gaming, I guess specifically Macau and Vegas names?
Okay, so it's important to note that Wynn, which unfortunately my child, look, I need to Google and Amazon, talk about Amazon, Wynn. Wynn has always been weaning itself away from the junkets of Macau, which is under pressure because of the person who, Sun City, who's orchestrated a lot of junkets, has not been their game, which I think is why Wynn is not down more. But I come back to Macau being a COVID play, and where is China? And, you know, can you imagine if a variant shows up in China? Their vaccines are not as strong as ours. And do we get another shutdown? Do we hear about another semiconductor shortage? This is why I am reluctant to say, hey, let's just buy the
heck
out of
it. That was a discussion over the weekend, although others countered that it's really Taiwan you need to worry about and Malaysia.
Yeah, flyovers, another 27 planes this weekend.
I just mean from a semiconductor supply standpoint.
Oh, Taiwan semi. And they're building here. But it takes 2 years to build these things. And I think people have to recognize that. That's a long time, and they're not going to typically go for the full feature, which is what we really need. They want to go for high performance, where the money is. David, whenever we hear about full feature, what we hear about is basically there's 200 chips in a car, and there's one that costs $2 that's not there, so they can't finish the car. The vehicle.
And when is that going to resolve itself? Because you've been somewhat more positive than I think the consensus has been on the ability to get through this.
Well, I think that Malaysia is a big problem. I think that Ford, which my trust owns, has been the best at sourcing. I think that if you don't give Mary Barr some chips at GM, you're making a mistake because they're such a big, you know, big customer. But I have said over and over again that Jim Farley seems to know how to cajole people to get the chips.
Right.
And remember, Farley's got that get Musk squad.
Nissan, the latest to announce a fairly significant dollar initiative to go electric. What, some $17 billion they're going to spend over the next 5 years?
But how about buying all these charging stocks, just like throwing some money away at those?
Is that what you see it as, throwing money away?
I just think that whenever there's a commodity aspect to this, people have to recognize how much money's been lost historically when you buy a commodity player in any new business. And that is definitely the charging. There's just nothing proprietary about the gambling stocks. There were some big insider buying at DraftKings, but they're still spending a lot of money to get customers. And the customer acquisition is what's playing havoc. That and the fact that some states have as many as 20 different operations to gamble. I just think that that's a very tough business. Right now, until there's a shakeout. David, there usually are shakeouts. We don't know how long a shakeout's going to take.
There are. Will there be shakeouts amongst the manufacturers as well? I mean, Rivian actually was down a bit last week, but it's up nicely today, another 4.5%, back above $100 billion market value. And obviously, the big leader, the big one is up almost 3%, Tesla shares.
Tesla, there's two markets.
Not much of a retreat
there.
And
the rest of the market. By the way, Twitter's now lost half of that great spike. as people realize, wow, I guess Salesforce is not coming back.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Twitter, listen, I wish I had more to share there in terms of specifics.
What is he doing? He's not coming back to us at all.
When and who. So we will share as soon as we get it.
I'm asking for a call-in.
Say again?
I'm asking for a call-in.
Yeah, I'd like one too. I've tried that. It didn't work.
Yeah, but you're not his friend.
No, I'm not.
Why don't you try to call in and get Benny up to call in?
I don't
see
have
how that
your
goes.
I don't have your pull. I think we've established that.
Ned went to Georgetown. I got a lot of Hoyas on my team. That's
nice.
That's about. It's Georgetown not looking that good in basketball, but I don't want to devolve into talking sports because it's too big a day.
Speaking of Salesforce, we are going to hear from them in this week's batch of earnings.
Yes.
Along with Box and Zscaler, HPE, Crowd.
Yeah. I look forward to speaking to Mark Benioff on tomorrow's show. It could be some fun. Mark is. I don't want to say he's confident because he's cagey, but they're doing a lot of business, and the business is unabated. Some businesses uniquely have been discovered. That stock was up $2 earlier.
Right.
That they work well on Zoom, and Salesforce has worked well on Zoom. Workday has done well on Zoom. Cloud stocks do well on Zoom.
You surprised me a little bit with your kind of saying that maybe is it time to take a look at Zoom, the stock.
Well,
at $210. It was
so
up on
cash.
Friday. There was an analyst we had on in TechCheck actually talking about valuing it on future cash flows at this point, saying it's trading at something like 35 times, which I guess is supposed to be a good thing.
Look, they can buy someone. That's what I'm talking about. They have a lot of cash. They can buy someone.
Right.
Right? That's your world. But they have a lot of money.
It's out year 35.
But remember, they didn't buy it on the 5.9, paying up for that.
Right.
And 5.9 then proceeded to have an unbelievable quarter. But they are using older technology at 5.9, and Zoom uses more forward technology. But I think the issue with Zoom is if they don't do something to onboard customer acquisition, then they, too, are going to find themselves in this dogfight. You know, as Teams
But they're in a dogfight against a company called Microsoft. That's not a great place to be.
No, you got a point there. Microsoft, powerful opponent.
As they say,
by the way, Microsoft's a great monopolist. Everybody loves them.
They basically can spend as much as they want. You can never outspend them. It's like going up against the U.S. government.
I was going to say, it's kind of like the government.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Zoom has an installed base that is consumer. They need to go up. Cisco wants to go up, too. But Teams is built into a lot. Teams reminds me a lot of when you used to have to, remember the browser, when Microsoft, the browser used to pop up. There was nothing to do. And then what happened after that?
There was this antitrust thing, yeah.
Well, when you're David's right. They're so powerful, they're like the government. When the government hears that, are you trying to get something going against them, Justice Department-wise? Is that what you're doing?
It's Microsoft? No, I think they're down the list, aren't they, a little bit?
Yeah. Well, they've been avoided any.
I mean, let's not forget, there are investigations going on. The DOJ and Alphabet and the FTC and Meta, they're trying to come back.
Right.
Even though they were shot down.
Well, I mean, you know, you ever notice that there'll be some country
Amazon?
That you have to pay $200 million to if you're in this business? It's like, you know, if I were running, like, Fredonia, I would charge them $200 million.
Would you?
Yeah. You know Fredonia?
Yes, I do. Groucho Marx's favorite country.
Yeah. I mean, I'd just send a bill to Google for $200 million, and they'd
Margaret
probably pay
DuMont
it.
Shows up and pays the bill.
Yeah, pays the bill.
By the way, speaking of like legislative priorities, the Congress is back to work this week, and they got to fund the government by the 3rd of next month.
Oh, right. I know we can't.
There's the debt limit. There's funding the Pentagon. There's passing Build Back Better, if that's possible, in the Senate. So it's hard to believe that big tech is high on the radar.
No, so. You're right. They've got a lot of work to do and the usual not so good. Hey, by the way, just in terms of things that just are not so good, PayPal. Once again, getting slammed. A victim of everyone and everything?
Well, what do you ascribe it to?
Well, I think that people have decided that buy now, pay later is all that matters, and that PayPal's method is no longer cutting edge, and I think it's wrong. I'd love to hear from Dan Shulman. Hear from Dan Shulman, get a sense.
Visa and MasterCard have also taken it a bit, haven't
they?
All
buy now, pay
later.
Which, by the way, may not be. I mean, there's a lot of people who regret buy now, pay later when they did. There's surveys say a lot of people regret that they did buy now.
Really? Instead of what, paying 17% to their credit card company, they regret it?
Maybe like not using debt at all.
Okay.
I mean, we're supposed to be
just buying now. And
yeah,
paying
not
now.
Paying later, not
paying.
But, you know,
buy now, pay now?
PayPal is an illness. See, like, your stock is an illness. I used to say that when I was a hedge fund. I would say, you got to throw something made into a volcano. It's got that maidenish feel. That was not, by the way, at all. That was just the term maiden. It was not maiden. I don't want to.
Understood.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, I'm okay then?
I can't say that you're okay, but you're okay with me.
Okay, fair enough. If I'm okay with him, he's about as politically correct as you're going to find.
You're okay, he's okay. Right. Merck is not participating in this fondness for Big Pharma. There was a downgrade over at Citi to neutral. Jim, they're looking at the probability of them abandoning some HIV development on some high regulatory concerns.
Yeah, but then he starts talking. I mean, that piece, that's what I call a... I'm skeptical about that piece because he starts talking about the loss of exclusivity for Keytruda. Now, that occurs in 2028. I will worry about that in 2026. I will not sweat the program. Merck is a very good company. David, you followed the antiviral. I felt the subtext of that was the antiviral didn't pan out.
Well, I disagree.
About the piece.
Oh, the piece. Yeah.
No, don't.
Sorry. I didn't realize that's what you were referring to. Referring to the... Yeah. Listen, you know, the numbers did come down, there's no doubt, from 50% to about 30% on hospitalization.
So now Merck's below where it was before they came up with this?
But that said, I think there is the larger expectation is you are still going to get an approval of the antiviral, and it will still sell billions of dollars worth because it will keep people from dying.
Well, Regeneron, Regeneron's got the drip. No one wants a drip, but here's the stock coming on again.
And it's 5 days.
Regeneron is
5 day
stock.
Course of taking... A pill.
Generally, you get the drip, and you're.
Yeah, but
good.
It's harder still to get infused than to go and do all that.
No one wants to be infused,
right?
Well, no one wants to get sick. Though there's a smart thing. I hope one day I'm quoted on that. No one wants to get sick. I really delivered a new low of things I've said. People want to get better. How about that?
They do.
I just think that I'm coming down on the flu, really bad flu, because lots of people die from the flu, and we all get our flu shots. And they tell you, well, you got a 50% chance of not getting the flu. Well, how about the other 50? I mean, that's not a great thing, but we still get the flu shot. This is a lot better.
With efficacy somewhere in the 40 to 50 range. Yeah. So you think if we got news in the next couple weeks that the vaccine has similar efficacy against Omicron, that'd be okay?
Yes. I'm still going to say yes because of what Dr. Bourla said. And they're very cagey at Pfizer. I mean, they may have a pill that makes it so that you get it. And you get better. Now, look, let's talk about the flu for a second. But people don't realize there are years we have terrible flu. And there's no pill. There's nothing. I mean, you got to hand it to these guys.
Well, there was Tamiflu. And that was what we early on sort of had compared
this
to.
What,
these
oral
antivirals are
back.
More effective than Tamiflu.
Want to bring that comparison back and say that Tamiflu was not as good as these? That's right. So, I'm coming back as being sanguine, not today, because you get the market up, and the same people are buying today. If they see someone who landed and is in the state of Washington, they'll say, I got to sell. And we got to guard ourselves against silly sellers.
We mentioned Powell earlier in the hour. What do you think they say about this? Do you think this, these calls for an earlier taper are dead?
Yeah, I mean, I think Powell has said over and over again, we got to get through the pandemic. And he's been right the whole way. And yet there's all these guys. You know, if I were a member of the Fed, I would say I defer to the chief. I remember the old days. You never even knew who these people were. I mean, I remember in the 80s, they were like people who put out some regional numbers. I think we got to go back. I mean, Powell, at what point, Carl, does Powell get the benefit of the doubt of being right constantly?
Never.
Did you hear when he got reappointed, he thanked his wife, Lisa Leonard? She's in his corner.
Yes, that's a nice thing when your wife's in your corner.
I lacked that one point. Very negative.
This goes day to day with you.
Well, not now.
No, not now.
No, I want to wish my...
No, it's all good.
I want to wish Miss... I want to wish Karen Kramer a good chance. Having a new place today.
Oh, that's
I hope it goes well.
Okay. The ex. Got it. Just making that clear to everybody here as we go through your
Well, because I don't want it just everyone to think that my whole life is just a shambles. That would be a mistake. How would I have the top 10 negative Twitter if my life's a shambles? Would they just say they won? They beat me?
It looks pretty good from here. We are off the opening high, but Dow's up almost 200. VIX still around 24.5. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Good to be back after a week off. We've got a bounce in the Dow, but we're not getting near the losses we had on Friday. We have a nice balance in Microsoft and Apple, IBM, yes, but that's being offset by some weakness in pharma and the consumer staples. Take a look at some of the sectors as we start off. Obviously, energy with a great bounce in oil today, strong. Tech strong because semiconductors are leading it. Banks are bouncing back on higher rates. Consumer discretionary also doing well. You see the staples kind of weak here. And, of course, what we've got here is Merck. You've got Disney. You've got even Walmart, if you consider that a staple, though it's not really technically. But all of that is sort of weighing on the Dow, preventing it from really moving forward here. Semiconductors strong, but it's really a round trip here for them. Look at NVIDIA. That's a good example. So NVIDIA was 326 on Thursday. It went to 314, and now it's close to back to where it was on Thursday. This is similar to a lot of some of these big high beta tech names that have gone round full circle here. Crude's back at 72, but that's the same story. Remember what happened here. We were 78 on Thursday on crude. We went to 67 on crude, and then we're back to 72. So oil stocks are bouncing back nicely here, but these are all the high beta names, the old Apache, Occidental, Hess, Halliburton, and Marathon Oil. Travel and entertainment, very interesting. So Carnival was at a 52-week low on Friday. We saw the airlines drop, but if you'll notice, the companies that take you places are notably underperforming the companies where you can go and stay or be entertained. So I'm talking about airlines and cruise lines are doing worse than hotels and companies that have entertainment like Live Nation. Obviously, people can get to some of these places, stay at a hotel, but flying and maybe cruise lines, it's a little different. There's just a noticeable difference between those two types of travel and entertainment stocks. Very wide reaction to a lot of the people over the weekend that I was talking to, and even on Strategist as I was looking at it last night into this morning about what this Omicron variant means for the stock market overall. Goldman, Jan Hatzius over at Goldman was saying that more infections were possible. He had several scenarios, but they didn't change their forecast. And in fact, almost nobody did on Wall Street. They just don't know. Chris Harvey over at Wells Fargo said this is the big concern is extending the supply chain issues. That makes sense to me, but he's not making any investment change until more is known. We saw Mark Haefeli over at the UBS raised the possibility that this could reduce early Fed tightening. That was a very common theme amongst trading desk people that I talked to. But Lori Calvasana over at RBC said, as for what happened to the broader markets, the possible effect here is the hampering of the cyclicals and the recovery stocks overall. And that makes the most sense to me. If you look at Omicron and what it could possibly do, slower growth and lower rates benefits tech stocks overall. And that was one of the things, of course, that we saw recently. Faster growth and higher rates will benefit cyclical stocks. This is a simple economic fact. So to the extent that you can figure out what the effect of Omicron is going to be on those two issues, you can figure out where the stock market is going. Everybody else, though, when I called this morning early on, said, what's going on, Carl? They said, Bob, the bottom line is we're still at 1.56%. On the 10-year yield. And that's really what matters. So we were at 1.56 on Thursday. We went to, 1.48 on Friday. And now we're back to 1.56, essentially, on the 10-year yield. So it's been full cycle around, just like it's been full cycle around for some of the tech names. Overall, that fact, the fact that it's still not going up or dramatically down, is what's keeping a lot of people in a very, very quiet state. And most people, Carl, are saying, I'm not changing my forecast until I know a lot more about what's going on. Carl, back to you.
That's exactly how Goldman put it last night. Bob, very good. Bob Pisani. Coming up in the next hour, we'll take a closer look at Bitcoin bouncing back after falling below 55K on Friday. Take a look at the bond report as well. Look at treasuries and how they're faring. As Bob just mentioned, we got the 10-year still fairly suppressed, especially at the long end, 30-year but well below 2. And we will hear from Powell and Yellen tomorrow in front of Senate Banking. We'll be right back.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning.
We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Whatever I can do, whatever my companies can do to make it accessible to everyone is how I'm going to spend the rest of my life. Like, if I were not at Square or Twitter, I'd be working on Bitcoin. If it needed more help than Square and Twitter, I would leave them for Bitcoin.
Maybe we'll get more evidence of that following David's report that Jack Dorsey will step down as the CEO of Twitter. We know of his interest in crypto.
Right, but we also know that Ned Siegel, putative CFO who's very powerful, has no desire to make that be the fundament of their company. I mean, they've got a tipping process. But
so you think
geez,
it might have been a strategic disagreement at the board level?
I think that there is a love, personally, of someone here who likes Bitcoin, but has not been able to say to not mandate it. And even when I spoke to Ms. Ahuja, who runs, again, CFO of Square, She's much more pro. But they don't have it right now.
A lot of it can just be encapsulated in that chart. It's, you know, put it up against Square over those 6 years, and it's a very different look. There has not been that much. Look, 85% is fine, but it's not
in payments.
It's not keeping up with many of its peers, and it has not been nearly as successful as you see over
Square,
that period of time.
Small business.
What we're talking about there.
Great job.
And the question has always been out there as to whether you can effectively do two jobs, not to mention Mr. Dorsey, as we said, charts his own path, and it is a singular one in many ways. There was a lot of pushback when he said he was moving to Africa for at least 6 months, Carl.
And now we got a halt for news.
We got a halt
on
for
Twitter.
News. Okay. Yeah.
It's so hard when you're a reporter to say, well, why are you interviewing Ned Siegel? Okay. Why are you interviewing CFOs?
I mean, Proctor's vice chair.
Right. That's a
CFOs,
good point.
Come on.
But I also think that stands for having very powerful CFOs, and the Square CFO is so pro Bitcoin. And when I speak to Ms. Ahuja, by the way, I like these cryptos.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of anxious to see what they'll do, whether you can have a bank of crypto. And they're not there yet, but they want to be. And then you go speak to the traditional banks, and you want to wire your Ethereum into them. And they're like, oh, are you kidding? It's like, well, wiring kryptonite into us. And I've begged JP Morgan, please. I've been a customer for 30 years. Please let me send my Ethereum to you because I don't like getting 8%. I'm getting 8% on my Ethereum. And you know that the head of the SEC, right?
You've been perplexed by your 8%. Yep, yep. Happy to take it, but perplexed by it as well.
Yes. Happy to take it.
Yes.
But perplexed by it. I shared that with Chief
Gensler. And because it doesn't make any sense.
None. I mean, what do they do? Lending it out, whatever. I mean, it's funny because I go over it and I say to myself, well, this is ridiculous. Oh, I'll take it. And that's why I went to J.P. Morgan. I said, listen, I don't want that 8%. I just want peace of mind. And they said, well, you can have whatever you want, but you're not putting your Ethereum with us.
Maybe they're short the Turkish lira. Maybe that's how they're doing
it. Well, they would probably take the Turkish lira?
No, maybe they're shorted with your money, and that's how they're able to make those returns to give you your 8%.
I was thinking that they were long, they were short Zoom and maybe long Moderna with my money. I mean, no,
I
just kidding.
Maybe,
but there's,
I got an interesting CDO squared for you if you want.
Well,
you know?
My outfit that I have, my crypto, was mentioned, was cited by Gensler. I cited them. And, you know, David, look, you got Twitter halted. Thanks for nothing.
Well, we'll get the news and we'll find out who's going to replace Jack Dorsey,
I was not able to find out.
I
have Dorsey on
DraftKings. I had been able to find that out.
What do you have? What do you have on PennNet? Do you have Dorsey?
You mean betting odds? What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
They've bet on everything now. We're back to, we're like Britain.
Yeah. I bet on everything.
I got a Molly No-Show 101 shutter.
So who are you laying odds on?
I'm laying odds on Ned.
You are? Okay.
Okay.
I'm saying it's Ned.
All right.
Go, you know, Hoya Saxa.
Makes the most sense. I'd say that's the, yeah, that's the highest conviction.
Best odds?
Yeah.
Good. We have really great insight here.
That's why people watch.
Ned is not
incredible insight.
Look, I'm going to show you, because I'm a full disclosure guy. Ned, thoughts, call in?
Nothing.
Nothing. How's that?
Snooze.
What's that? Negative 6-1 down to 2-1.
By the way,
what do you have?
Same for me. I got nothing. Zippity dippity doodah.
5-2 odds here.
Yeah, nothing.
You'll definitely have a lot to chew on tonight, Jim.
Oh, my. And I've got Ned Siegel from Twitter.
No, you don't. Not yet.
No, not yet. But I do have Harley Finkelstein from Shopify. We have to get some Cyber Monday numbers, right? Because those Black Friday numbers, which we didn't really go over, a lot of people felt were disappointing. I did not share that. We can shop anywhere. Well, got the variant.
Man, we didn't talk retail at all.
It's a shame. First drop, at least according to Adobe, first drop in Black Friday shopping ever.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Well, I think a lot of people got it done early. Interesting one. DoorDash down a lot today. DoorDash did great during the pandemic. What is that about? Well, interesting idea.
It was up on Friday, wasn't it?
He worked Friday.
Worked Friday.
Shoot, you break stories.
It was work Friday.
You're making us all look like, oh, geez, please.
We'll see you tonight, Jim. Mad Money, thank 6 you p.m. Eastern time.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.